Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast. My name is Blue Eslo here with Robbie, the Glizzy Goblin himself. Today we are chilling, talking about a whole lot of video games. We talk about some Ubisoft and how they think that subscription-based service is the future. We talk some about We talk about Power World. Talk about
this new Pokemon capitalist game, if you will.
We talk about how they did kind of yoink quite a few designs, and they weren't really subtle about it. Yeah. Talk a little bit about how Arios is a fucking beast. This dude is insane. I actually went to go work out with Arios yesterday, and this dude is terrifying in any workout he does. And then we have a lot of Q&A today, some quite revealing Q&A today, dare I say. And we have a good time here at the GG Over Easy podcast. So if you like us being dumb, goofy, then stick around.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
This episode of the GG Over Easy podcast is brought to you by our GG legends, Halcyonix, Hoth, Fields, and Green Pete. Big shouts out to the GG Over Easy legends again. Thank you guys all for joining the Patreon and trying out all the things. It's been a great start. Sorry about having the podcast upload a little late. I had an issue with my Adobe Premiere Pro. I had to go back to an older version because every time I got to 100% on the exporting, it would just crash. And then you would go over to the file and it'd be like corrupted. So I literally had to try like six different times and they all just crashed every time. And the part that sucks is it took so long to export it, that it, whole thing. Yeah. How you doing, Blue?
I'm doing good. It's cold as shit. It is so cold.
Is it cold over in Tejas?
It's so cold and windy. We had an 18 degree day on Wednesday, and that was literally the worst because I usually go to the gym pretty early in the morning, so I'm like up at like 9 or like 6 a.m depending on the day.
Yeah.
And I happened to wake up at like 5 that morning, and I was just destroyed because I woke up at, I went to the gym as I do on 6, like, just because it's like, just because the wind chills and the negatives, like, doesn't mean I'm not gonna go to the gym, dude. That sucked.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
That was really bad.
Didn't have that a good time. That
was awful. We're still getting there, though.
Still getting in there. We haven't had any power grid shutdowns yet. That's the main thing I'm worried about.
That's what I was like. At least you still got power. right now.
How's your winter up there? I've heard it's still strange.
The past week, I think we've had a high of like 11 degrees. And on the day it was 11 degrees, it was like, oh, it's kind of nice. Okay,
kind of.
No. Don't need this like jacket. No. Yeah, but it was literally like negative like 5 degrees basically like every day.
Speaking of gym and weather, actually went to go. I was so inspired by you always talking about how you you pump hard Peloton with Arios. Yep. I actually took Arios to my gym yesterday.
Whoa! You like met IRL? Cool.
Yeah,
sick.
We do live like 40 minutes away from each other, so I invited Arios. It's a bring a friend week basically for our gym where like you can bring them in for the whole week whenever they want for free. They don't got to do anything.
Yeah. That's and awesome.
It was a rowing day, so we did a lot of rowing and jump roping, and my bro, Arios is built different.
It's hard to keep up with him on Peli, man. I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm not going to keep up with that dude, and I know I'm not, but this dude, like, Arios is pretty, like, what's the word I'm looking for? A little, aloof. You know, he's a big gentle himbo. And so, like, he's fucking pumping. He's rowing. And
he's getting it.
And my coach is like, oh, we're like, you just got to do 500 per set, big guy, before you go to the jump rope. He's like, oh, shit. Oh,
500 per set.
God, yeah, 500 meters of rowing.
Oh, I thought, like, 500 poles.
Nah, 500 meters, like, the equivalent of. So
I see.
So, yeah,
I've never rowed before.
Rowing's a full body workout, so.
Yeah.
But it was like, I think what was the rep scheme? It was like, they do like a lot of warm-ups, like warm-up sets, basically. So like you'll do like a demo of the workout, and then the workout is like 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes of just like, you know, high intensity workout. And so it was like 500 meters, and then 25 jumpy ropies. For Arios, it was double unders because he's built different.
Yeah.
And so like you do 500 row, you do a jump rope set, that's one set. And you gotta get as many as you can in that 20-minute time cap. So Arios is a beast. Everyone was saying like what to like, oh, okay, how many reps did you get? And everyone's like new with the reps, and Arios just like I don't know. I just went. You said go and I didn't stop.
It was funny. He like hit me up one of these days after our Peloton. He was like, hey, like what size shoe are you in a biking shoe? And I went, what do you mean? Like, don't you already have a pair? He goes, no. And I go, wait, so you mean to tell me you've been unclipped in the Peloton, basically just kind of riding dog. Where like it's super different when you're not strapped into the bike, because then like you can pull full force with your legs and you won't like, you know, your leg won't come off essentially. So we started Pelotoning, and dude, like I can keep up with Arios for like the first like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But as soon as like I finally start getting tired, he doesn't. And it's just like he still goes. And I end up like losing by like 30 points and something like that. Well, he's just a freak.
Well, that's like the same as me. Like I was next to him rowing, and like in the lead up sets, right? Where like we're doing like just the demo, like, you know, like we'll take like a 20 minute slow version of the workout. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can keep up with this dude. Like, let's see how long I can do this. And then like 10 minutes into the warm up demo, I'm just like, nope.
Shit, I'm already done.
I'm out. So yeah, this dude's built different. And then we got Chipotle after, so that was nice.
Oh, that's always the best part, is like the after workout Chipotle. I always really...
I love food, dude. If food's so good, why make me fat?
Speaking of loving stuff, there's a game out right now that I think Mr. Fruit right now is loving. And we're actually going to play later.
Right.
About 2 hours from now. And you guys may have heard it. It's, I don't know if it's taking the world by storm. But it's at least taken like Twitch by storm, at least from what I've seen. POW World is already off to a huge start. Now, for those that don't know what POW World is, Blue, do you mind explaining it? Because even I don't really know what it is.
So POW World is essentially this survival shooter set in a world where ordinarily it would be a pretty standard shooter. You know, like you got your guns, you got your resources, you know, you do your base building and shit, and you go fight a bunch of bosses and stuff, collect resources. But it is set in a Pokemon-style world where you have a bunch of basically Pokemon that can help you with, you know, gathering, that can help you in your boss fights, even in base building. Like, I was watching Fruit, and, like, to get a freezer going, to, like, you know, preserve your food, you can use a Frost Pal and put them next to the freezer, and that Frost Pal will, like, you know, that's how you get the freezer working. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool concept. It's, I mean, at its core, the TLDR, it's a survival looter. It's just a survival shooter with Pokemon at its core design RPG element, right? So it's cool. I will say, it's really funny. There are some straight up rips of Pokemon designs. Like, not one to one.
Like, they could take you court type shit?
Like, it's changed just enough to where they really can't. But, like, if you saw them, you'd be like, oh, that's Lycanroc. Oh, that's Latias and Latios. Oh, that's Salamence.
I saw a sheep that looked like one of the sheep Pokemon.
Straight up Mareep. Like, not even trying to. I mean, yeah, they try, like, they'll recolor it and, like, change aspects of it, but some of the designs are pretty blatant ripoffs.
Yeah,
which is, like, I'm not, like, super against, because honestly, like, if you can't make bangers like Pokemon designs, that's one of the main reasons why I fell out of love with Temtem, is because, like,
you didn't like the designs.
Temtem is a good game with the most mid designs, monster designs I've ever seen in my life. I like Temtem, but man, the Pokemon are just so just not it. But yeah.
I just saw a bazooka being shot at a Pokemon.
Yeah, it gets pretty.
I'm at the Steam store right now. Like,
it gets pretty silly.
Later.
We're gonna have to throw up some footage of it, like, on the YouTube version, because it's really hard to describe, but. It's pretty cool. I'm interested in trying it. It is funny because, like, one of their main, like flagship Pokemon is, like, that big yellow. It's literally just Totoro, but, like, big and yellow.
Uh-huh.
And it's, like, it's just funny, man. Like, they're kind of like, if we can't, like, make something iconic, let's just, like, kind of, like, follow along. Let's, like, hey, can I copy your homework? Yeah, but, like, change it a little bit so it's not obvious.
Are they called PALs?
They are called PALs, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm watching from the Steam store, and it looks like they're, at one point, it looks like a conveyor belt is, like, working, and all the Pokemon are working or PALs are working the conveyor belt.
Yeah, you can do some funny shit with them.
Yeah, so I have an article here. It says, ahead of PAL World's launch, developer Pocket Pair insisted it's definitely not a scam. The assurance came in the wake of games like Disastrous the Day Before, which was fueled by distrust between players and early access developers on Steam. Because I think, what, this is on Game Pass and right now? So if you have Xbox Game Pass, I don't think you even need to pay for it right now. So if you have that, try it out. POW World started with a small team of 4 people. With Craftopia, we realized the potential that survival crafting games had. But as we continued development, we realized new possibilities. How much fun would it be if you went on an adventure, lived, and built a base with pals who had their own quirks and personalities? With this in mind, we have worked hard to develop this game for the past 3 years. Developers who sympathized with POW World gathered one after another, and the scale of the game grew beyond whatever we imagined. POW World starts from here. They explain Pocket Pair. They explain it It's including a PvP arena, major building system updates, a raid boss to fight that guild members must gather and cooperate to defeat, and trading pals with other players in the world too. I also saw a clip on Twitter that there are shiny pals, apparently. I don't know if you know that.
It wouldn't be a monster collecting game if they were in alternate color versions.
Yeah, I don't know if it was alternate color version. I just know he said it was way bigger than its like original form type of thing.
Like an alpha pal. That's fair.
Yeah. They also say we will continue to do our best to update the game in order to bring it one step closer to becoming a great game. Everyone is seeming to enjoy it. I do have here an article that explains how close these Pokemon are related to one another. I'm going to kind of on the podcast. I'm going to kind of scroll through like kind of what people are saying about them all looking kind of similar. I linked it in the main chat if you want to look.
They're pretty close, man. Like,
like there's one that's like Galarian's Meowth's face onto like a different Pokemon that's like purple. I forget what Pokemon that is. It looks like like they take Meganium and just make Meganium stand on its legs. And then they put like Lilligant. They put like Lilligant's like headpiece.
Oh, the Lilligant one is a straight rip. Like that's like I'm not convinced that's not traced. Like I'm not convinced that's not traced. The Cinderace one is pretty blatant too. Like the rabbit.
One that looks and then there's one that's like
Esper.
Looks like a fox witch.
Yes.
Let me see what they call this thing.
Bregson, and then Bregson? Her full Evo is not called Bregson.
And then there looks like a Lucario, but it's like an Egyptian.
It's straight up Egyptian Lucario. It's not even.
And then we have I see the one where you said Latios and Latias. Like, that's literally just them combined.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Oh, yeah, Delphox. There we go. Delphox. Yeah, Delphox. That one's a straight rip. We're definitely throwing these up. You guys are going to see how close they are. The Meganium one, yeah, it's just on all feet. The Decidueye one, the owl with an arrow, that's a straight rip. Like, that's like same color scheme and everything. Yeah, the Delphox is a straight rip. It's Lucario is Egyptian Lucario. You had the Luxray is almost a 1-to-1.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably have our review of the game coming next week's podcast. Right now, I think it literally just comes out like today.
Out just today.
Because it's been like early access, I think, and you had to have maybe like codes to access it and stuff. But I mean, it looks really interesting. I do see here that PAL on Xbox doesn't have dedicated servers, limiting co-op to 2 to 4 players, while Steam gets up to 32 players. So if you are able to play this on PC, I would definitely recommend to try and have this on PC. And the more I think about this, the more this does seem fun. You know, it kind of combines all of our favorite aspects as a crew. You know, I love guns and shooting guns, and you guys love Pokemon. So I think it'll be a ton of fun today. We'll probably be live, I think, in like the next like 2 hours or something like that, right after this podcast. So if you're live listening to this, make sure you fly on over into the our Twitch channels to watch it. PAL World will be coming this week, but we'll have our full reviews going into next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of reviews, some Halo reviews have come in. One of the things that came up, how do you say his name, Blue? Pablo
Schreiber.
Schreiber. Says the sex scene in last season was a huge mistake. He came out and said, about the sex scene. He said a lot of stuff this week in interviews. I have a lot of quotes from him that explain everything that's wrong about this show. The decision to make the connection between Make and John a romantic connection was a huge mistake. I felt it was a huge mistake at the time, and I argued against it and fought against it. But I am who I am, and I don't write the scripts. I only give my opinion, and it wasn't listened to. So it seems like he kind of understands what makes Master Chief Master Chief. I'll be honest, I didn't even watch that episode where he had sex with some chick. Because I literally just watched the last episode because someone said it was actually okay.
Master Chief fucks.
But this is where, like, I had a really big issue with a quote that he had. He had a quote that said and explained why Master Chief doesn't always wear his helmet. He says, you're not going to be able to bring an audience along in a long form story without having an access to a character's face, which tells you what they're feeling, how they think about everything. The access to a character's emotional life over the course of time is it what makes you empathize and connect with the character. I'm sorry, but it's the only choice for long form storytelling in television. Well, I would say to anybody that who disagrees with that, I totally respect that opinion, but it's pretty basic place to start when you're talking about making a television show quality.
No, my boss. It's crazy to me because they literally saw them make a new character in Mandalorian that took the literal world by storm. We didn't see this dude's face until, like, when did we? It wasn't until... Was it
like the last episode, I think, right? When like the robot is like, I'm not a robot, I'm a living person. Like,
yes, he took his helmet off for like literally, it was like 20 seconds.
It's old, but
yeah, it was 20 seconds of the whole. Yeah. And like the time that he only takes his helmet off at like really specific key moments.
Yeah. And like imagine the pogness I would have and like everyone else would have that our Halo fans have. Like, oh shit, that's the Master Chief's face.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, it's like they just made a character in Mando that we cared about a ton, and he didn't take his helmet off until the last episode of the first season. And then we had, but you have Master Chief who people are already connected to. You don't even have to work that hard to build this character because people know it. And to say, like, oh, you have to build a character, like, you have to, like, have their helmet off. It's like, they literally just wrote a character that had their helmet on all the time that was completely new, and they did it perfectly. And you're telling me these writers can't write Master Chief, one of the most iconic video game characters of all time, having his helmet on for most of the season? Not even most of the season, like, at least, like, a good chunk, because most of the time in the series it's just Pablo Schreiber playing like a cosplay Master Chief
for sure. I hate that. It basically is admitting like, yeah, I'm really bad at voice acting, and we have a really bad writing team that doesn't make you care about this character at all. That's like what I read that as. It's basically just like throwing himself under the bus and his writers under the bus. Like, I'd understand if we hadn't seen a show or some sort of like form of entertainment that we didn't see somebody's face and we could understand 100%. What they're going through and all those sorts of things. But we literally saw that with The Mandalorian. We
just saw it.
And you literally have so much source material for us to care about Master Chief. You know, you could do some sort of like visions of his like childhood. You know, you could do something that the games don't really get to touch on because it doesn't have the time.
Yeah, exactly. And
you could have like the Cortana type of thing, and you can have like why he's a stoic fucking dickhead all the time. You know, like why he's just a killing machine, and like was he programmed to be a killing machine? But instead, we get butt cheeks. We get him smashing chicks.
Hey, they were nice butt cheeks, to be fair.
Yeah, it's just a mess, and it does not get me excited for this newest season at all.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I hope it's good, but it's like, and like I respect the dude for, you know, defending the team that worked on it, but it's like at some point you gotta be like, hey, like this is not really Halo. This is like a story in Halo clothes.
Yeah. It just makes no sense to me. I don't know. Everything that comes out of the show, it's always the actor guy saying something was a mistake, or that wasn't a mistake. We think we're right about it. It's just, I really like can't stand.
It is weird.
But as a Halo fan, I think I'll be there. You know, I will be there for episode one.
I will be there no matter what.
Fall of Reach.
I'll be there no matter what.
Look really cool. I think it's really interesting. They did have a shot though where it was like it almost looked like Clone Wars esque, where it's like Master Chief standing in front of like an army, basically. And it's like, how did Reach lose when we have a gazillion army? Like, what the hell happens to the point where it's not gonna happen?
Yeah. If Fall of Reach, if they mess up Fall of Reach, I mean that's pretty much it for the show. I'm surprised it wasn't already kind of it for the show, but I think a lot of people saw like the last episode and like had a lot of hope for two. So
pardon your regularly scheduled podcast listening for this short ad break.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What did you miss our preach, man? Oof.
Kind of some quick topics. I don't know if you had any other topics, but we can talk about before we
go. I did have one real quick topic, and this one was actually really funny about Ubisoft. So Ubisoft recently came out. One of the Ubisoft executives said that in regard to subscriptions, they said gamers need to get comfortable with not owning your games. In one of their quotes, he said, one of the things we saw is that gamers are used to, a little bit like DVD, having and owning their games. That's the consumer shift that needs to happen. And it's like, whoa. Like, that was pretty crazy. He goes on to explain that not owning a game doesn't mean you lose your progress, and that you still keep the time you invested and what you've built, even though you don't have a physical copy to stick on your shelf. Tremblay also says that he understands the gamers' perspective when it comes to owning games, but claims that services like Ubisoft Plus will allow them to access their games when you feel like. He's the director of subscriptions as well, so it's a big concern for me.
Why do they even have that title?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
why do you even need? That's not even a real job. Like, that's like one of those fake jobs you make to get in through the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ubisoft pretty much this. Ubisoft in general is pretty forward with like the cloud being like the only way to like buy games.
I hate the cloud. Do you save stuff on the cloud?
Well, I mean, everything like Steam Cloud, like
what's Steam Cloud.
That's how all your games' progress gets saved, my guy. You think your game progress is saved on your computer?
Yeah, kinda.
Ah. Nothing. All your progress for all your Steam games, even like shit like Elden Ring, that single player, that's all that save stuff's on the cloud. I think that's good. But my issue is basically renting games from a server and playing it through that and never having true ownership of your game. Because like with Steam, right? You know, it's in your, you could play them offline. Like you, yeah. Not all of them you can play offline, but like if in the event you don't have internet, like that game is still offline. My issue with subscription and like online only games is this is exactly what the Ubisoft devs want. They're like, you need to have internet to play these games. Like you don't own these games. Even single player games like Assassin's Creed are going to, you know, start having like online checks to see like when you start the game, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
And like if you don't have it, it's like, oop, we couldn't verify your key for this game. And it's like, pretty gross, man. But they want to have like a fully digital future. You have obviously like Game Pass is also kind of pushing this. In that you like games are only subscription service. And don't get me wrong, Game Pass is amazing, but you know,
they,
like
they do it right with Game Pass.
But like, you know, if you lose your Game Pass, like you lose access to those titles, like as soon as you know you don't have Game Pass anymore. So it's like it's a double-edged sword. Actually,
kind of like thinking it as like a Netflix type of thing. Like exactly. We subscribe to exactly. Ubisoft Store.
Yep.
And Ubisoft Store is like, hey, like.
Exactly. Yes.
You can play Kingdom Hearts, but like you don't own Kingdom Hearts. And like say like, oh, this game's going away this month, and it's like, wait, so I can't play this game anymore? Like after it goes away, it's definitely way different than like TV or television. TV or movies that like you don't rent or stream. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely not a shift that I think gamers are going to be making anytime soon.
It's I mean, unfortunately, it's not really in our hands. Like that's the sad part is like if games just turn into subscribe to Ubisoft Plus, this game is only available on Xbox Game Pass. Like that's unfortunately like part of the future of But some people are fighting back against that. Some people inside the industry themselves.
Oh.
The founder of Larian, the developer of Baldur's Gate 3, said, "You won't find our games on a subscription service." He says, after Ubisoft forecasts the future of players not owning games.
That's good.
He says, subscription models will always end up being cost-benefit analysis exercise intended to maximize profits. The CEO and founder of Baldur's Gate 3, developer Larian Studios, weighed in on recent prophecies from Ubisoft directors. Gamers will likely grin and bear a subscription model future. Sven Vink added to the discussion on Twitter in a thread this morning. He says, whatever the future of games look like, content will always be king, but it's going to be a lot harder to get good content if subscription becomes the dominant model and a select group gets to decide what goes to market and what not. Direct from developer to players is the way. That's my go.
Bad.
That's my go. Chad. That's my game of the year,
Giga Chad.
That's why Baldur's Gate 3 has probably made more money than like 8 Ubisoft games combined in the past like 5 years, baby. He goes on to say, getting a board to okay a project fueled by idealism is almost impossible, and idealism needs room to exist, even if it can lead to disaster. We are already all dependent on a select group of digital distribution platforms, and discoverability is brutal. Should those platforms all switch to subscription, it'll become savage. I definitely agree with him. And it's tough because like we're already like got like a foot in the pool of, you know, subscription based being the wave. But I think it's just kind of like the point is like to make games only based on a subscription is a slippery slope, because then you won't really have like, because then everyone's just going to start doing subscription based services, and you're not going to be able to directly buy the game. You're not going to be able to just like have it in your library, like on Steam. And obviously, like, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but like with big publishers like Ubisoft, obviously you have Xbox Game Pass, you know, obviously the intention of Game Pass is not to be like, oh, like you guys subscribe to us to get these games. Obviously the intention of Game Pass right now is, hey, here's a good way to like get some of the games
as many games as possible
without like, you know, having to like deal with all the, you know, try all these cool games. Like the intention of Game Pass is like, hey, try out all these cool games you might not have been able to play before.
Yeah.
Whereas Ubisoft's is not quite as nice. It's quite literally, if you want to play our games, you're going to have to subscribe in the future.
You got to rent it.
Yeah, you got to rent it. Sven continues. In such a world, by definition, the preference of the subscription service will determine what games get made. Trust me, you really don't want that. I respect that for many developers, subscription services present an opportunity to make their game. I don't have an issue with that. I just want to make sure the other ecosystem doesn't die because it's valuable. Makes sense. I think the Chad dude is again. I think the dude's super Chad. It's like a, like for me, right? MMOs. Eight. Like for me, MMOs, there's no way for me to just own an MMO. And I understand, like he understands that too, because it's like, yeah, like there's no way for me to just own an MMO.
He's saying like a subscription based like payment, like you do with Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
it's
like
different than like this plan.
Because like to play the game, I gotta pay, because you know, I mean, server costs for an MMO are not cheap, and to do the things I do on an MMO, you know, you could play the game single player at this point, because
yeah.
Yoshi-P has like really driven home, like, I want this game to be able to be played.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're not really a social person. But like, the whole point of MMOs is interconnectivity at all times.
Yeah.
So,
and it's always like an ever-growing world, like it's always constantly updated, and like Ubisoft isn't going to update Assassin's Creed Black Flag. You know what I mean?
Exactly, like, exactly. And so it's, but like, you know, there's the inverse of subscription where you have Ubisoft essentially wanting to have a Netflix or Disney Plus version where you get games, which I mean, you know, pros and cons, just in the same way that Game Pass is dope, but like, it's all about the intention, right? Like, like Ubisoft wants to do this not because they want their games to succeed and they want like their, like, oh, discover all these cool games you may not have been able to play on Ubisoft Plus. It's more so like, hey, pay us to play these games. Also, you like, you just want one of these games? No. If you lose your subscription, you're not playing that game ever. Like, get fucked.
That is kind of insane.
It's just it's obviously like not like the end of the world, and this is giga first world problems, but it's just like consumer rights as a
well, I'm
are getting like weaker and weaker, especially in the video game sphere.
You see it in everyday sphere. Like, I think it's insane that like I buy a Ring doorbell, okay? Wow, I have this Ring doorbell now. Well, I installed it. Now I have to pay a subscription fee every month for me to use it. Like, why don't I buy it? And because I bought it, now I get to use it. You know what I mean? There's a subscription fee behind everything these days, because they know they can make you pay for it. Like, why give them a Ring doorbell in the price of $60 when we can charge them $50 and then charge them every year $15 for them to use it? You know what I mean? Like, that shit is insane to me. And we've lost it, like you said, basically everywhere other than video games. And makes me sad that it may even come into video.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I love the physical copy of games, but I haven't owned a physical copy in a while. And I mean, realistically, right, I do have to say, like, do we really own any of the digital games that we have right now? And I mean, you know, realistically, no. But it's still to the point.
But I can sort of refund them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that.
I mean, to a level.
If I don't like it.
But like, most of the games in my library, like, I can play offline. Most of the games, you know, most of my games are online only, and like online only games that are designed to be like, you know, always online and playing with homies. Like, hell yeah. Like, I get that. But it is kind of spooky to think about a future where we have Netflix of games, and like, that's the main source of buying your games, which I don't really like, man.
What's the last physical game you bought? I'm trying to think of the last actual physical game.
Now, this is where I fuck heavy with Nintendo, because the last physical game I bought, Scarlet and Violet, baby. Scarlet and Violet.
Okay. Yeah, and mine must have been a Nintendo game too, then. Maybe like Super Mario 64 and they had like a Sunshine pack, something like that. Forget what it was. I think that's a lot. Oh, it's like Super 64. You got like Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and like Mario Galaxy all on like one little cartridge. And they had it for like a limited time for physical. I think that's the last. I think it's the last physical game I bought. And that was like 2 years ago.
Yep.
I didn't know about this. Apparently, there's an Indiana Jones game coming out. And they just announced that Troy Baker is going to be the voice of Indiana Jones.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so NFT guy.
He made a mistake. He made a mistake, and he did say, hey, I didn't know about all this shit, y'all. Like, that's on me.
That's on me, fam.
I mean, not my favorite guy in the world, but he did, you know, he did say sorry.
He did say sorry. Okay, let me pull up Q&A here. We got a good amount here. Space with our first question says, Rob, where's the Fortnite festival content? Is it, it's like Rock Band and OG guitar controllers are compatible with them too. They aren't though. Cause you don't strum, you just press the button. So like, sure. Is it the same? No, actually not really. I think the strum and like hammer-ons and pull-offs like are a really big part of Guitar Hero and rhythm games. And I also think it's batshit insane that Fortnite makes you pay $5 for one song. That's fucking insane. But then in comparison, I have like, I think 515 songs on my Clone Hero, okay? That are all from Rock Band, Free Charts, Guitar Hero 2, Guitar Hero 3, everything. If I paid $5 for all of those, that would be like $2,500 worth of songs on my Clone Hero. I'm never in a million years paying for a song on that game because $5 is just insane for a charted song that's even not even that hard because I just have to press the button.
Speaking of which,
that being said, yeah, go ahead.
No, keep going. I was going to go off.
I was going to say, Dado and I completed the Endless Setlist of Rock Band. We sat and played Rock Band 2's playlist for about 6 hours straight. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Were you saying?
Yo, where's Rob's fitness update?
End of the month. That's when we'll I thought it was weekly. No, yeah, we'll have
it. I was like, damn. All right.
No, end of the month.
Thirst trap Rob.
Lose the weight and stuff. Yeah,
thirst trap Rob, end of the month, boys. Thirst trap Rob.
But if you go into the fitness journey in the Discord, you'll see all my workouts that I've been doing in there. I have been sticking with it. Been working out like 4 days a week.
Oh, guess what? Go ahead. I'm gonna throw my hand in the barrel. I'm gonna start posting.
Let's go.
I'm gonna start throwing my workouts that I do every day.
Love to see that
into the fitness thing.
Love to see that in the little.
Yeah, you guys can see that in there. You guys can see a little piece of what I do every day that's been keeping me going to the gym. So yeah,
that'd be sick, dude. Would love to see that. Lumberlord. An unknown source says, "Do you guys enjoy amusement parks? If so, do you have a favorite ride?"
I'm not like, I'm not crazy into amusement parks. I would say
Texas has some really good amusement parks too.
That's the worst part is we have goated amusement parks. We have Six Flags Fiesta Texas down here is massive. Like I've never been into rides. I'm going to be honest. I've been on a couple roller coasters and it's just not really my thing. I don't really like being on a death cart. You know, Mario Kart, love it. Roller coasters, not my vibe. So,
okay.
My favorite ride is always the river tubes where they have like that little every place has it.
You get kind of wet or soaked,
but you kind of just vibe down the river on your little tube, and that's my favorite ride. So,
Unfortunately, the music parks here in like Colorado are pretty whack. Other than Waterworld. Waterworld is really cool. But the Six Flags here is ass. So I would say, yeah, I love amusement parks. Like if you go to Magic Mountain in California, it's like one of like the roller coaster capitals. It has so many. And they're probably my favorite rides, probably like X2. And for those that don't know, X2 is a roller coaster, but as your seats spin as you ride the roller coaster. So like you go down and like your seat will like spin and flip you as you like are flipping yourself. It's really cool.
Oh no.
God. Yeah, it's awesome. I love roller coasters. I've never been like afraid of them. Actually, that's not true. I thought they were really scary when I was a kid. I'll never forget. I was about probably like 8 or 9 and California Adventure had just opened up at Disney World and they had a roller coaster there. Called Screaming California. And I remember my dad literally dragging me by my arm and me screaming and crying. And then I was like, maybe I won't be tall enough. I get to the thing, I'm tall enough. And at that point, I start hysterically crying. They forced me
onto it. Oh, no.
And afterwards, I was like, that was the sickest thing ever. Let's do it again. So that's how my love of roller coasters started. And I love roller coasters. The scarier, the faster, the better, man. Like the new Tron ride at Disney World was really sick. Lumberlord says, is there anything you're embarrassed for not knowing? Example, something like not knowing how to ride a bike, etc.
I'm
embarrassed. I don't know how to Photoshop. I think it's really embarrassing that I don't know how to make thumbnails or Photoshop. I really hate that about myself, and I want to try and learn how to do those sorts of things. Yeah, I would say in the content creation space, I feel very stupid that I don't know how to do Photoshop. I'm embarrassed that I don't know how to do Photoshop because everybody else around me knows how to do
it. Is that really embarrassing, though? You don't know how to do something?
Yeah, especially when you're a content creator, I think.
I mean, I don't think
that's embarrassing. I think it's a skill every content creator should have.
I don't think that's embarrassing personally. I think you're fine. I will say I'm embarrassed. Back in the day, I was embarrassed I couldn't ride a bike. And then I learned how to ride a bike. It was pretty chill. What am I? Right now, I'm a little embarrassed. I don't know how to efficiently clean my shower. I don't know if there's like a amazing way to do it, but like all I know is like right now I'm just kind of like toilet easy. I got my toilet bowl cleaner. I got my fucking Lysol wipes.
And they make it easy with the toilet bowl cleaner. They like make it kind of hooked, so you just squeeze. Yeah, it's wicked.
If I gotta clean, like there's all these fucking Swiffer wet jets and shit, easy mop. But like with the shower, it's like daunting to me. So I just kind of like use some of the shower soap or whatever. Use some of my like Fabuloso or something, and just kind of let you know, let's spray it down. I don't know. It's probably an easy Google, but like I just kind of YOLO it. I don't know if I'm cleaning my shower efficiently, but I try. Are you the premier? How do you feel about your cleaning of your toiletry areas, Rob? Or is that more so handled by someone a little more skilled than you?
No, so we break down the patriarchy here. Sydney hates cleaning the toilets or like cleaning like the bathroom type area. Doesn't say she doesn't do it because she has and literally just did. But I know she hates it, so I'll take the responsibilities of cleaning the toilet and cleaning the showers and stuff like that. I forget what it's called, but it's like this green kind of
the dust. Powder.
Yeah, it's like a green kind of powder. Yes. You put, and then like you just fucking you just take like a you have a scrub daddy. Scrub daddies are pog. They're like these little smiley face things, and you just get in there with them and they basically try and get everything. I mean, our fucking showers are from like 1900s, so it's literally like impossible to get some of those stains out.
Yeah, that's right.
But I do try and make it as clean as possible whenever I do decide to deep clean my bathroom.
I was kind of toss that powder out and then I just like let it sit for a while and then I'll just like spray it down with the shower head. So I should probably start.
You gotta like really get in there with that green dust.
Soon, like it's easy to scrub a toilet. It's easy to like mop my floors. Like, but like seeing like a big ass shower that I have to scrub, I'm just like, I gotta start doing it.
Pardon your regularly scheduled podcast listening for this short ad break.
Caraxi, or it could be Kara the 11th. I don't know. Kara the 12th. What game universe would make a banger series, and what series would make a banger game? Okay, that's a good question. Also, congratulations, Robin Dowd, for the Bladder of Steel achievement. Okay, we'll start with the first one. Banger series that would make a... Wait, what game universe would make a banger series? Okay, we'll start with that.
Metal Gear Solid, baby.
Which one did you say?
Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, Metal Gear Solid.
Easy. I'm still saying it. Been saying it for years. Still waiting for a Metal Gear Solid show.
I think if you did it right... And we're saying a series here, not movie, Assassin's Creed. To do it correctly and do it right, you could make
that,
it work.
That series is asking for a long form media format.
You can do it.
Not Michael Fassbender.
I don't know how how you get people in the door, but you already have all the Assassin's people in the door. No, I think that is one of the coolest stories and one of the greatest narratives in gaming. You know, it's a little confusing, but you can, dumb it down for a series and just be like, hey, we need to get your memories from an assassin of your ancestors in fucking Roman times. And then the next season, they're like, hey, we got to go to Viking times. Like, I just think it's just awesome. Now, for the latter, a series that would make a banger game. That one's a little tough.
A series of me
trying to like I always thought how Telltale did their Game of Thrones like for a couple seasons or something. I think they did like one Telltale game for Game of Thrones. I think if you did like a narrative driven Game of Thrones RPG-esque type game, I think that'd be really, it would be extremely hard to pull off, but it would be fucking awesome.
I think I don't think we've really gotten like a fully realized Avatar The Last Airbender game. And even Korra, like they're always featured in games, but like that art style, like that would make like in the style of like like DBZ Kakarot or like
a Lethal Company type look, like just, you know, way better graphic type, but like
that. Yeah, like cel-shaded.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still waiting on that Avatar adventure game. That would be sick. That would be my number one pick, cuz like a deep combat system with bending, I would cream a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
Strachan says, "What is the trend that made you feel old for the first time?" I think Skibidi Toilet really did it for me.
I love Skibidi Toilet, dude. What is wrong with him?
What is wrong with this dude?
Not an expert on Giot, my boy?
No, I'm not an expert. That also makes me feel
homie old. Is Rizless not caked up at all? No toilet, no Skibidi?
Old. Yeah, that what you just said right there. It was funny because I was at a... Yesterday, I had a bunch of Voodoo Ranger meetings about like the year and all that kind of stuff and like meeting other creators. And we were doing like this film thing and like shooting. And basically, it was like, just have a conversation and we'll like film you guys talking and we'll just like remove the audio. We just want to make like you guys talking. And nobody was saying anything. So I went, "Do you guys know what Skibidi Toilet is?" And everybody didn't know what Skibidi Toilet was. So I had to explain to them what Skibidi was. And they all just started feeling immediately old. So, and then what you just said, no Skibidi Toilet Giot, or is Giot like goddamn, like goddamn, or is Giot like its own sort of thing?
Honestly, Giot is a feeling, my guy. I don't, let me look at the
like
exact.
Like when I say Giot, damn, like I think as Giot, as God, like I've always thought it as like you're saying goddamn, just like Giot, damn.
The like, origin of Giot apparently stands for get your act together. Giot is a slang term for goddamn, and is usually said in response to seeing an attractive woman. Daniel, Giot damn, what do you think? However,
see, like, so it's just like, God damn.
But, like, sometimes, like, Giot is, like, a term also used by, like, Giot in hand, my boy, like, about your, like, dick and balls. So it's like, Giot can be, like, thought of as goddamn, but, like, Giot can also be, like, oh, since when did you become an expert in Giot? Like, oh, do you can go get your Giot out the toilet, dude? And it, and like, okay, listen, dude. Okay, so I know it doesn't make sense, but like, trust me here. It's basically saying like, hey, like, goddamn, you gonna get your shit together, my boy? Like, why don't you go outside to your car, pick up your Giot out your toilet, get that shit in here in hand, bring it in here, and maybe you'll finally have some fucking riz, bitch. Finally wanna get caked up? Huh? Finally want to get caked up big ass style, or do you want to just sit over there with Giot in hand looking stupid? Rizless motherfucker.
I can't wait to see you yell this at Joey today. what about you, Blue? What trend made you feel? Obviously you don't feel old. You seem to keep up with the trends these kids are doing.
I don't think any trend has made me feel old. What does make me feel old is the music. Is like when some song comes on that I used to listen to a lot, or from like some band that I loved, and they're just like, oh wow, like classic music is so good, and I'm like, classic music. There was this TikTok where it was like, I don't know, like some dude was like, oh dude, I found like oh, my dad let me like borrow some of his vinyls of some of his classic records, and like I took a lot of them for a spin. It's like The Shins, fucking The Strokes,
typical like mid-2000s rock.
Mid-2000s, like Interpol, yeah. Fucking...
I believe in a thing called love.
Arcade Fire, And I'm just over here like, classic.
Mies says, is there any game that you wish you could go back to replay from time to time? Oh, is there a game that you go back and replay from time to time? For me, it's Kingdom Hearts 2 and Super Mario World. You guys are my fave. And it's really hard for me to go back and like replay a game. But if I ever do, it is like Kingdom Hearts 2 or Kingdom Hearts.
Games I'm not like the type to really go back and play games a ton.
Yeah, me too. I'm not like a comfort gamer.
If I do, I think the most recent game I went back to go play was Black and White 2 with Pokemon.
Okay.
But I don't really go back like I used to. Back in the day, I did play like Metal Gear Solid games over. I did play like, I could barely remember at this point, but yeah, not like nowadays. No, the last time I went to go back and play a game over was Black and White 2. And that was probably like 2 years ago.
Like I'll go back and play like Slay the Spire again, but like Slay the Spire is different every time I play it. You know what I mean? It's not this, it's like a roguelike. So it's always different when I play it. Stredrin says, do you guys collect anything or have you wanted to start a collection?
Fuck me. I couldn't tell you what I don't collect. I have so many. I love collecting figurines. I have a big ass Blue Eyes White Dragon in the back right here with me. I love collecting like life size shit models. I have Thancred's Gunblade from Final Fantasy 14 in the back. That shit cost me way too much money. I collect a fuckload of cards already. Like I collect Pokemon cards. I collect Yu-Gi-Oh cards because I love them. And I have a pretty big vinyl collection at this point. So I collect a lot of fucking things. And I'm entering my
30s.
My feminine urges arc.
Oh.
Where I want plushies nonstop. I want to fill my room with plushies. So now, in addition to figurines, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, really cool statues, life-size replicas of things that I love, now I want plushies, so I'm fucked.
I don't really collect much of anything, actually. I used to collect shoes, and then my shoes finally got to the point where it's like, I literally have every shoe I could want, because I wear my shoes. I don't just like have them like Dado does, like on a wall or anything like that. Like I like to wear all my shoes, so I have like a rotation of like 6 or 7 pairs of sneakers that I like to wear. But I do collect old N64 games. I don't collect a ton. I only have like the games that I love, and if I have like disposable income at the time when I'm at Games Ahoy and I see a game that is in decent shape and looks good. So I have two of my favorite games of all time right here in Banjo-Kazooie and Zelda for the N64. And I will probably only collect old N64 games. I do have a Halo 2 disc up there. But that's literally because Halo 2 literally started my love of gaming. And like, I feel like I wouldn't be here without Halo 2. So yeah, I don't really collect too much of things anymore. But if I did, it would be these N64 still in the box type games. But that's these are like they're not like they have been opened before. So, dude, like cardboard on an N64 game, man.
Did you just open it?
Well, there's nothing like it. I mean, it's already been opened.
Oh, okay.
Like, I bought it like open. Oh. But it's so cool. Like how these games used to come in. Like,
yeah, they went hard.
Doesn't that just make you feel old? Like just seeing that right there, and then like nice. As its cool little gaming manual, even like the N64 manual. It's just really cool. It just makes me feel like there's just nothing like touching the cardboard of an old N64. It's just the best.
Yeah.
Let me pull up this next question here while I put this away. Next question here we have is from Hoff. Says, what is your favorite / least favorite exercise to do at the gym? Military press. I have really bad shoulders. But like my shoulder's literally popping as I do. So I would say shoulder press. Both my shoulders are really bad. So I normally tend to not do many shoulder exercises.
My least favorite, let me think. My least favorite is probably the overhead squat. So an overhead squat is where you have a barbell above your head, and you pretty much have it like your arms fully extended and you squat it. I mean, you squat it while having it above your head, and there's always something kind of, I'm still learning to like try to get comfortable with like basically having weight, like basically on my
blind side. It's an intimidating lift.
Basically on my blind side. Like it's like when you pull it off, it feels great, but it's like, I don't know, man. Squatting any heavy weight overhead is spooky. Like I can do back squats, I can do front squats. Like those are great. I love those. I could do, you know, I could do lunges, I could do you know, weighted lunges, you know, front rack lunges, easy. Like I love those. But when it comes to like the squat snatch, which is like a yeah, exactly. Or just the overhead squat, like that's spooky for me. So that's my least favorite. Just not because it's like incredibly difficult. Because like I'll do it, and I'll do it okay. But it's my least favorite because like I still have such a long way to go, and it's still kind of spooky doing it.
It also has favorite on there as well. Power cleans. I love power cleans.
Oh my god.
I
fucking love power cleans.
Yeah, power cleans make you feel like a badass.
My favorite
is when I used to throw up weight, bro.
My favorite's a clean and jerk.
Oh, see, clean and jerk is too much on my shoulders.
Like, I love the clean and jerk.
You have to hold it there.
What's your max power clean, Rob?
Oh, dude, back in the day, it was right now. Probably, like, if you were telling me like max a power clean right now, my technique would probably be really bad, but I could do like 165, 170,
damn,
something like that.
God damn.
Well, it's only because like when I do my power cleans, I do it really, really correct. You know, my form on a power clean is tremendous. Like, right here, but then like I will bring it all the way back down here for like a front squat. Like I don't like, I won't bring it to like here. I'll bring it all the way back
down. So squat
then,
clean.
Like, front squat. Damn. Sure, if you will. I mean, I make it. My technique was so crazy that's what I loved about it. Cause like back in high school, I did juggernaut one time. This is what we used to name our power cleans back in the day. Cause we had a red weight. The red was 45s. I think blue was 35, yellow was 25, and then greens was 10. So if you did a 45 and a 10, that was Christmas. That you could do Christmas. And then if you do red and yellow, that was like the real, real one. That's when you started getting into like real ass territory. That was called Captain America. No, that was called Iron Man. And then red and blue, 45, 35 was Captain America. And then 45 and a 45, we called that Juggernaut. There was one point in my junior year where I could do Juggernaut. That was the craziest I've ever done. So 225 was like my highest ever. And I think Juggernaut Christmas was technically my highest, which is a 45 and a 10. Two 45s and a 10.
What a go.
But yeah, but there's no fucking way I could even get close to that. I'll hold that. I'd be like, how the fuck did I do this when I was 7?
Just the bar. He'd be like, holy shit. I got to clean this. Yeah, no.
Marcus.
That's like my favorite. I love that. My favorite is the clean and jerk for...
Yeah. Mark Rousset says, what is your ideal weather? Winter seems to have come late this year and no one I've talked is enjoying it. Fall, like a nice 55, no wind, but like, ooh, it's kind of cold, but we put on a light jacket type of feel. I like that.
I'd say anything between 50, like my ideal temperature is like 50, like 60, that 10 degree range. Perfect.
Yeah.
Anything like, honestly, I could deal with cold. I could deal with extreme cold. What I cannot deal with is heat. I hate it when it's way too hot outside. I could put on more clothes for the cold. I can only take off so many clothes when it's hot. So it sucks.
Yeah, I feel that. We have Absolutely says, hey y'all, just wanted to mention that I love the changes made in the Discord recently. Great job. Now, what is the most anticipated movie for 2024 if there is one? A lot of movies coming out. Like Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is one I'm really looking forward to. The Garfield movie looks really cute. Gladiator 2 looks really cool. I'm trying to see what else we have here. Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, you know, that might come out this year. Inside Out 2. Love Inside Out 2. Sonic the Hedgehog 3. You know, we finally get Shadow in that. If I had to pick one, though, it'd probably be Deadpool 3.
It's a toss-up for me between Deadpool 3 and Sonic 3. Because I really want to see what Ryan Reynolds does with Wolverine himself. And at the same time, like, I love Sonic and Shadow's dynamic. So those are the two I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, and they've done a really great job with Sonic in that.
They have cooked.
Movie series.
They have
cooked. Like, I think they'll do a great job with Shadow. Last question here from Slippy Fist says, what is your go-to snack these days? Are they healthy snacks? I have been eating, as you can see here, baked Ruffles. I like baked chips. Apparently, they're a little bit better for you. 65% less fat, but probably could be eating still stuff that's way better. There are these like yogurt gummies that Sydney and I got from Costco, and those are delicious.
Ooh, yeah. My usual snack is like some salted like mixed nuts. That's usually my go-to.
I'm not a big nut guy. I just can't I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I mean, I don't do that. They usually come with like these cylinders, and I just go, like I'm drinking a soda. Yeah. I mean, not like that, but like, you know, I'll get like a nice little swig.
You go like would you eat it all in your mouth?
I mean, yeah, Rob, like we're talking about nuts, not like what, never mind, man. Look, listen, dude, that's a technique I don't use on cylinders. All right.
Said it comes in a thing and you just go.
Yeah. But then you start like,
no, that's me twisting it open. That's yeah. Not, then you, what did you think I was? I was twisting open.
You were like hitting it like
here's
a
the thing.
You were hitting it like a glizzy for free.
No, see here, like her, like rip, and like sometimes it gets stuck in there. So you gotta like move the nuts around to get them to fall.
Rob, you gotta stop right now. You have to stop right now.
Notice that, like on Jumbotrons. When I was a kid, and you got on the Jumbotron, kids would go like. Nowadays, kids just go. whenever they see that, it's insane to me.
No, dude, bro.
No, well, that'll do it for the GG no. podcast today. Dude. Thank you guys all for listening and hanging out today for episode 213. We will be back next week for episode 214. See you all then.
See you guys next week.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.